Dublin's good times all summer with Leanne Hanafin and Paul Ryder. Weekday mornings from 10 on 98FM.
Now, you'll know him from your TV screens down through the years, making us all smile and laugh. We are delighted to be joined now on 98FM by comedian Jason Manford, ahead of him bringing his tour, A Manford All Seasons, to Ireland. Jason, good morning. How are you?
Morning, I'm very well. How are you?
We're good. To have you here.
Even better to be chatting to a legend. How are y'all? Good.
So nice. Yeah, I'm good, guys. I'm pretty well, thank you. Thanks for taking
brilliant.
Time.
And thank you as well for taking your time. Now, Jason, with over 175 shows on the tour, is it fair to say you're enjoying life on the road?
I love touring. I mean, I've always loved all the tours I've done. We've done 6 or 7 over the last 20 years, but yeah, I love it. And particularly now, you know, I've got 3 teenage daughters, so there's no longer any joy or laughter in our house.
Is that where you pull the material from then? Like, is it the things in life that are around you now you've got teenage daughters? Is that where the material comes from?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely my experience of having teenagers has become... Because, you know, anything where there's a great juxtaposition or a great an observation of differences, and obviously the biggest difference for so many people is the way our children treat us and the way we have to treat our parents, you know, that generational difference is so, it's huge. It's huge. You know, the way kids talk today is definitely not how I remember speaking to my parents. So it's ripe for comedy.
Do your kids see you as a cool dad because you're on telly and you're touring the country and touring the world? Do they see you as a cool dad, or are they like, oh, dad's off again?
Yeah, no, not particularly. They're not really bothered. When I did Waterloo Road last year for the BBC, and I was the new head teacher, I was really excited about telling because they loved that show. And I remember coming home and saying, I'm going to be the new head teacher on Waterloo Road. And my daughter went, oh, great, another thing you've ruined.
They're very brutally honest, aren't they? You mentioned about, you know, kind of you growing up versus your kids growing up. What do you think is one thing, Jason, that your kids would never understand about how you grew up?
Well, I guess there's just so many times where you're telling them stories that you think is hilarious and they're wondering why the safety officer wasn't called from school. You know, they're like, Nana and Grandad did that. You're like, they're not the people you think they are. That much. But it's that catch-22 of being a parent. You know, you want them to have a better start in life than you got, but then when you give them that, then you accuse them of being spoilt. So it's a bit of a catch-22, really.
Well, listen, 25 years in the comedy industry, what do you think has changed the most about the industry today? And are you still loving it as much as when you started when you were 17?
I do still love it as much as I started, yeah. But I, weirdly, I don't feel like I've got as much confidence now as I had when I started.
In an odd way.
Even though I'm a better comedian and better at my job than I was. I think social media probably is the reason for that. The fact people can directly get in touch with you and tell you what they think. There was a time where you would do a gig, the room would laugh, and that was enough. You judge it on the night. You go, right, yeah, did well there. The majority of people thought that was funny, and now I can drive home with a happy feeling. And now, one individual at the back who was half listening and you know, wasn't into it, can message you and say, I thought that was absolutely rubbish. So that feels a bit odd, and that didn't happen when I started. And that must be hard for a lot of new comics when you... Because obviously, that's what you're going to do. You're cultivating your audience. You're getting rid of those people who don't like you and doubling down on the people who do like you so they come back again. So that process takes a while, and I don't know how you do it with so many opinionated morons.
Everybody has an opinion.
Yeah, and everyone's opinion is right, apparently, too. You mentioned social media, obviously. Also, Jason, something that you're doing at the moment is championing teaching comedy in schools. What is the most surprising thing that you've learned from working with young, aspiring comedians?
Well, I've always thought about, that stand-up should be in school. You know, obviously, we have drama in school, and that gives people a certain amount of confidence. But it's not for everybody, you know. There's a lot of kids who you go, oh, I'm not doing drama, I'm not doing a play, I'm not doing someone else's writing, you know. And And the thing about stand-up comedy, of course, is it's your own writing, it's your own stories, it's your own journey, it's your own you know, things that you find funny. And those things are massively important, because I think the things that are missing from children in general, but certain book children now are going to struggle with, is, you know, getting in front of an audience and talking in front of people. And that's not necessarily be a paying crowd at a theatre. It might just be, you know, you're the assistant manager at Aldi and you've got to do a staff briefing. You know, it's those things, standing up in front of people and being able to talk is massive. Being able to laugh at yourself is a big problem in modern day children, I think, as well. I mean, I'm only going off the ones I've got, but laugh at yourself is it's not one of their prime skills.
Now, I am a massive, massive musical theatre fan, and there is that rumour going around that you've got a musical coming up that you're writing with a very, very famous songwriter. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
I'm writing a musical with Gary Barlow.
Leanne is the biggest fan of Gary Barlow. She's literally nearly fallen off the chair here.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, well, there you go.
Please, can I be front row for this? I want to be front row.
She's nearly lost her life. Please tell us more, Jason.
Oh, Jason, this is incredible.
Yeah, we're doing three of us and another brilliant songwriter called Joe Stilgo. And we are writing, we're writing a musical based on Captain Hook.
Oh,
and we're giving him the you know, the Wicked treatment. We're sort of giving him an origin story and where he came from and how he became the most feared pirate in the seven seas. So, it's a lot of fun. It's lots of twists and turns and a big, you know, family musical. Some great songs, as you can imagine. Sure, I'll have more to tell you when we finally get it on its feet.
I was going to say, is there any release date, or is it a work in progress, or how is that working for you?
It's not very much work in progress. It's written, and now it's just, you know, we've got a producer on board. We're looking for a theatre, you know, some workshops and some actors. Feels like we're in a good place.
Oh, this sounds so amazing. And good luck with everything to do with that. I cannot wait to see it when it comes out. Oh. Right up my street.
But of course, you do have dates for A Man for All Seasons all over Ireland. You are playing Vicar Street on 16th of September. People get their tickets from ticketmaster.ie. Jason Manford, you're an absolute legend. Thank you so much for joining us on 98FM.
Pleasure. Thanks for the chat.
Leanne Hanifin and Paul Ryder on 98FM.
Speaking of gym etiquette, there's nothing better than a banging tune when you're going to the gym, right? Mm. But with that comes the etiquette, right? Because I am a gym fiend. It's an escape. You go do your bits. You keep yourself to yourself. But then some people don't really make the experience as good as they possibly could.
Yeah.
I've been in my gym, West Park Fitness, for many, many a year. Probably 10 to 15 years at this stage. Wow. Absolutely love it. But I still meet people who do things that absolutely rot me.
Okay, what are some of them?
First of all, the do's. Wipe down your equipment.
People always don't do this.
Oh my God.
And there are signs, because my gym is the very, very same signs all over the place being like, make sure you wipe it down. There are literally antibacterial wipes all over the place. People still don't. And they also say to carry a towel with you too. People also don't do that.
You have to carry a towel in our gym. If you're seen on the floor without a towel, somebody comes to you. What I don't like is the fact that people will wipe down with that towel. They could have had that towel in that gym bag for days and weeks.
Put
your weights back on the rack.
Yes.
Right? Don't share equipment because it takes longer. Like, if you want to go do something, do it separately. Why not do a superset?
Anytime I'm in the gym, there tends to be a group of like young lads, and you know that they're kind of, you know, into the gym now and they're trying to want to be more into the gym, but they will go as a pack. Yeah. It's like a pack of wolves, and they'll all just stand around each other, watch one person doing that thing, and then they'll take it on rotation watching each other.
Have you heard the term yup bros?
Yes.
Like what a yup bro is.
Yeah.
I saw somebody, a group of yup bros in the gym last week with combs. They were combing their hair in between sets. I was like, lads, what are you doing? I look like I've been dragged through a bush backwards when I'm in the gym.
And
that's how you should go.
Yes. Were they like taking pictures or like videos?
Yes, of course they were. Taking pictures of them doing.
See, that's one of mine at the gym as well, is people going for the photo shoot.
Yeah.
I'm like, get up on that treadmill there now and run.
I guarantee you, one of my friends is going to text us in and go, Paul Ryder, you taking more pictures in the gym than you have in a photography studio.
All right, Leanne. Actually, no, I'm thinking of your Instagram stories. Yeah, you have actually.
I do like a little photo in the gym because, you know, I am the swan. I've come from an ugly duckling to a swan.
We just stop that now. One is fine, but it's
it's people who photo shoot in the gym.
Yeah.
They're spending more time taking photographs than they are actually doing the workout.
Something else that drives me absolutely crazy is people who talk on speakerphone or talk really loudly in the gym or don't have headphones and will watch stuff or listen to stuff with, like, I don't want to hear it.
I remember once in the gym, I was on the treadmill and someone was like across the way from me on another treadmill and they were on a Zoom call, a work Zoom call.
No.
So they were chat away, you know, feeding into whatever it was about. I was like, is this the only time in the day that you have to go to the gym? No, maybe it was, but I was like, the Zoom call now is a bit far. Yeah. We all knew what was going on in that business that day.
You feel like ringing the company going, he's in the gym, he's not in the office, or even working from home.
Yep.
They're a bit of a mix of some do's and don'ts. Some of the definite don'ts, don't flirt. This is not a dating scene. Oh, also, it's the having conversation in general. Like people who come and stop you and talk to you for more than 20 seconds, sorry, that should be eradicated. That should have a rule on the wall.
But also, I can't breathe. After doing an exercise, I am actually out of breath. I cannot speak to you.
Yeah. Take off your weights. Always take off your weights. Mm. And for something that's in the gym, changing rooms, put clothes on before you have a conversation with somebody. But that's a whole different story. I could write a book on that one.
Stop. Do people do that?
Well, yeah, too much.
Leanne Hanifin and Paul Ryder on 98 FM.